The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
It is Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We've been saying over the last couple of days, be weather aware. And some of you are getting updates on your phones, depending on what county you live in.
Snowmageddon 25.
About the weather that's moving in. And it's moving in tomorrow morning, by the way.
Watch out for that black ice, Carl.
Careful.
That black ice will get you.
And so we are not going to be at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw tomorrow, where we're supposed to be. I know, Tinker. Trust us. But we will make that up and be out there very soon. But we just want to tell you guys, man, be safe. Make smart decisions if you don't have to be somewhere and be out in that mess. And I say that because, Mike, they're talking about, to Mike's point, being serious, ice situations.
Yeah.
Slush, you know, that sleet turning into ice. And we're going to be, like, right at freezing. So stay up with the weather. See what's going on. The good news is it's not going to happen, like, a week, right? It's just a
couple. Yeah, it'll be one day, and hopefully the weather will warm up because we've had some really arctically, brutally cold temperatures. But, yeah, man, you've seen the weather. You've seen what's going on out there. So just be aware, as Carl's, be weather aware. We'll be working from home. What are you drinking, Old Fashions tomorrow? What's the plan going to be for tomorrow?
I really haven't thought about it, man.
I was thinking just, you know, kind of like a homage to Mad Men. I was thinking doing martinis tomorrow.
Oh, very nice.
Chris? Yeah. Oh, he'll be in the studio. Hey, man, real quick while we're here at Twin Peaks in Buckhead, shout out to Josh. Josh is a big listener, Carl, down there.
Where's he at? What's up, Josh?
He's waving over there, man. Just had a little fellowship over there. But he is a big listener. He's from Tucker, Georgia. And we were just talking about, you know, how he was in the car and loves the show. Came all the way over here to see us over here at Twin Peaks in Buckhead.
Thank you, man. Appreciate you
Good
coming
dude.
Out.
Hey, but we were just talking about the weather. Everybody has a story from 2014. And where they were, and it was crazy, and it was certainly something that no one will ever forget. I remember, Carl, I've said a million times, having a car with rear-wheel drive and being up on 75, and cars just stuck. And remember, you had to slalom around cars that just were abandoned on the highway?
It was.
And I'll never forget, I still remember the guy's name. His name was Reggie, and Reggie was from Lawrenceville, and he goes, hey, man, he goes, he had a Camaro. He goes, roll it in reverse. You get more traction in low gear. I'm like, done. So I drove in reverse from Windy Hill all the way down to 10th Street. Couldn't get the car up the hill over the interstate. Wound up parking the car in front of the Pike House over by the baseball field at Georgia Tech.
Wow.
And I went up to the frat house. I go, yo, man, I'm going to leave my car here for a couple of days. I got to go to the Super Bowl. And then we were on our way. You and I, you were working here. You started 92.9 back then.
I was sick that weekend.
In the office.
Well, the crazy thing is, and it's funny because I can laugh now, I literally that day called and said, I think I'm going to come in. And the boss said, take another day because I had the flu. It was kicking my butt. I mean, I was under the weather. And that morning, and for those who had kids, my daughter was in elementary school, and people were freaking out when it started because they were like, I got to go get my kids. So Michelle says to me, go get Trent, pick her up or whatever.
Right.
And if you guys remember, and I know if you were here, school buses got stuck. It was a very scary situation.
Right.
Like, people could not get to their kids. So that was like number one. But once we got back home, like, I just thought it was going to be like, you know, maybe an inch. And it kept snowing and snowing. And all of a sudden, it was like, holy crap. And I just, it was one of those things that I got lucky that I was not in. Because everybody else that was at the radio station that particular week ended up having to stay at the radio station. Because nobody could get in.
Right.
So, and by the way, I know everybody thinks about 2020 and the pandemic now with remote and, you know, being home. That was not happening then. So
different animal.
It was a different animal. So everybody was stuck. So it really sucked for the people who couldn't get out and the people who were ultimately already at home. And like, I happen to be one of those people. As a matter of fact, our boss went on the air to cover shifts because he was one of the people stuck. as we're talking about, you know, Snowmageddon in 2014, but there's been a couple of events that have happened here in the city. You talked about the Super Bowl and the ice and all that. There's been a couple of times where it's been really bad, but I just, you know, again, we don't know what will happen tomorrow, but at the end of the day, just be safe.
Yeah, man, that 99, that Rams-Titans week was crazy. Safe. I remember Roswell Road, cars just sliding left and right. One thing I will never forget, though, and we'll wrap it up and we'll get on to, by the way, you mentioned you had the flu. I just saw this, and thanks to my buddy Jack, who's a big Notre Dame, he's living down in Naples, one of the guys I've smoked cigars with down there. Notre Dame apparently has got jammed up with the flu. And apparently it's about, they're saying there's a bunch of starters on both sides of the football that are really sick as a dog. I know I've just got over it, and it is nasty, this one. So that just, I'm saying, you said be weather aware, be betting aware if you're going to take Penn State or Notre Dame.
It's hard to play at a high level when you're sick.
Now, you'll get those fluids, and like not everybody can Michael Jordan in Game 6 against the Jazz, but, you know, getting the fluids and such, it's still you're not the same.
Well, football, Mike, you're pushing people around. There's a strength element to it, and you're weak when you have these symptoms. So I'm not saying you can't play. Guys have done it. But if you have multiple guys, that certainly could affect the overall feel of the game and what you're able to do. So I told you I like Penn State.
You know what? Now, thanks to my buddy Jack. I mean, he's listening online. This is one of those.
Notre Dame could come out and it means nothing. But when you hear those kind of things, and then if they lose, and people say, "Man, what happened? Why did they play so bad?" This is the kind of stuff that behind the scenes. This is why you don't get this information, bettors, because this is the kind of stuff that affects lines.
Jack got it. It was in the Chicago Sun-Times. And by the way, this is the guy that gave me the advice, which is great advice. If ever you're at the beach and somebody plops down right on top of you, fire up a cigar.
Yeah.
Because Jack's the guy's like, I like to go with a Garcia Vega. You know, just start puffing away. And then, especially people with kids, they're going to, oh, God. And that's a good way to just create more space.
I usually get people to ask me, first of all, I didn't know you could smoke on the beach. And I always say, who's going to stop me? Secondly,
call the ranger.
Yeah, and then secondly, they're usually like, "Yo, man, you got another one?" And I've met friends that way by doing that. But yeah, man, it should be an interesting game tonight. Tomorrow, I can't wait. Texas, Ohio State. I do think the winner of that game ultimately wins the national championship, but we're going to see.
Hey, real quick, because we're going to focus more on the Longhorns and the Buckeyes tomorrow. But just as a guy that, you know, lives and dies for Texas, growing up there, are you nervous?
Always. I tell you that all the time. Always. You know, like the second game with Georgia, right? And, you know, it was there, and it was great. I mean, great environment, you know, overtime. Somebody's got to lose. And, you know, again, I always tell people, like, when they trip, oh, I can't believe you cheer for that. Okay, first of all, I didn't know you picked where you grew up. Secondly.
Yeah, again, if I'd known I was going to work in Atlanta, I would have gone to Georgia. Granted, my grades probably would have been good enough for Georgia back in 86, but I would have tried.
So that's number one. Number two, though, I don't play for them. Like, I support it. It's great when it's not Georgia. And, Mike, that game, everybody was just assuming, oh, today's the day we get revenge. And I was like, what are you talking about? Georgia's not going to lay down. Like, Georgia's not coming in here. And I thought they played better the first game, but I also thought Texas played better the second game. I'm talking about Georgia beating Texas. And then Texas played better the second game. But, you know, the game goes overtime. It's anybody's ball game. Yeah, I'm nervous. Of course. Anytime you talk about these games, it's like Georgia-Alabama, right? Ask a Georgia fan. Georgia has been better than Alabama for the last 5 years. But when they play, ask Georgia fan, how you feel? Georgia dogs are like, man, I don't know.
Always
it's Alabama.
Nervous, right.
Because it's Alabama. Like that, you're always nervous when you get into these big games.
I've always been I said it all the time. Same thing with the Falcons. Well, Falcons do make it hard to be confident.
And I did say
I'm
that
a pragmatic
fan. 5 years. They've been better.
A pragmatic fan when it comes to the Noles. Hey, man, I just noticed we talked about Tariq Hill's, you know, his information about being committed to the Dolphins. Just saw from Pro Football Talk, if you're talking about the Steelers and the Ravens, and we will handicap all the big playoff games.
Absolutely.
Remember,
absolutely.
It's a full weekend of NFL action, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday night. But Zay Flowers, a Pro Bowler, is out for the Ravens game.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
That's a big deal. I mean, considering how important he's been to Lamar, we can talk about Mark Andrews all you want. Like, Zay is that guy that's going to make a big play for them. And it also allows the Steelers, Mike, to key in and stack the box against
Derrick Henry.
Okay. Yep. Zay at least gives you that option to go, all right, we can't do that. We got to have a couple defenders around him. I think that's a big deal. Do I still think the Ravens are better? I do.
And any time, even though the Steelers and they split on the season, right?
They did. No. Yes, they did.
Yeah.
They did.
I do think, though, there's extra pressure for Lamar in these playoff games. He'll never admit it, but there just is, knowing his legacy's on the line here. Got to get to the Super Bowl.
Yeah. It's, look, I thought last year was their year.
I thought last year. And for those who missed the show last year, where you been? We talked so much about how Todd Monken basically forgot about the run. Now, granted, they didn't have Derrick Henry, but they still had guys who could run the football, and they really kind of got one-dimensional and decided against the Chiefs they weren't even going to try to establish the run. And how do you get after a good pass rush? You run it at him. So hopefully Todd's learned his lesson. I can't imagine he's going to forget who Derrick Henry is this time around.
Yeah.
Because remember, the Chiefs, they went to Buffalo, and Buffalo shot themselves in the foot. Remember that went to the Texans, the receiver, the pain in the butt.
Stephon Diggs.
Stephon Diggs. Yeah. Diggs had that drop. Remember that beautiful pass?
Should have caught it.
That's a moment. There's moments in games, man. But anyway, Buffalo had them, and then the Ravens had the Chiefs on the road, and now this year everyone's got to go back to Arrowhead.
Yeah,
even though the Chiefs look very mediocre at times this year.
They're just sitting around.
For a month.
Yeah, and you know what? That means Mahomes' ankle
will be healed.
Right. They play.
Yeah, will be healed. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't even think he was hurt. Do you see how he's scrambling? I mean, he's picking up first downs. He's running for touchdowns.
This is every year, Carl.
Yeah, but you're like, he's hurt? What is he like 100%?
Well, every year it seems like he rolls his ankle, and every year they shoot it up, tape it up. I want to know what that is. I could use some of that. But, until somebody can go in there and beat them, I know that we've used the analogy of the Giants and how they looked ugly and still got hot at the right time going through December. That's where the Chiefs are living, man. Because they proved it to me last year. When you look as bad as they did in that loss to the Raiders, right? Like 2 weeks from the playoffs, and they run. And they make a run 2 games on the road.
Well, that team would have been the Bengals this year if they made it. They fell just short.
And we played the audio. I heard Andy Randy, what we were talking about yesterday in Guy Talk, Travis Kelce going, no way in hell we'd lay down. But basically the idea that if they let the Broncos win, the Bengals are out of the playoffs.
That's right.
And Kelce's like, no, we'll take out all comers. He goes, I want this to be like Mortal Kombat. But the Bengals, yeah, that's a TV show I would like to have seen this year, with all due respect to Bo Nix and the Broncos.
All right, guys, we are coming back. You're going to hear from Rusty Manziel about this Carson Beck situation. We'll talk dogs, as we've been talking about college football, the playoff tonight. And if you want to come out, check out the game. Obviously, Twin Peaks here in Buckhead has the games, but so do our folks up there in Kennesaw. If you're in that area, stop in and check the things out. Get a beer and hang out. But Rusty lays out to us this Carson Beck situation and the medical stuff too, Mike.
Yeah, because at first we were under the impression, hey, he's going to the pros. It's basically a kind of a do-over what Cam Ward pulled last year.
That's right. You'll hear it next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yeah, no big surprise. We'll get Rusty's take on that. He's ready to go, Carl.
All right, let's talk to the man. And, Rusty, you're on top of this. It's Dukes and Bell. You guys hear Rusty on the Steakhouse. He covers, obviously, high school, college football like nobody else in our state. And I'll say this. I am a little surprised. Maybe you're not. What do you know about Carson Beck and his reverse turn here? I'm going to the NFL. No, I'm not. I'm going to the portal.
Well, first of all, I'm trying to get some damn milk and bread, and then all this stuff breaks. So you know how it is. You know how that is. But when something like this happens, you put the bread and milk on hold. Here's the thing. You look at this from Carson's perspective. Georgia was trying to recruit quarterbacks. He was trying to decide, is he going to have this surgery? What does he need? The time crunch for Carson Beck did not help his decision. It kind of rushed him into some things. I think he's kind of understood the scope of his injury. I mean, you're talking about not probably throwing until May or June at the earliest. That's not going to set well with NFL guys. Right. He didn't have the year that you want to put on tape. I think, if you guys think about this, you remember Cam Ward declared for the draft, and then Miami talked him out of it.
Yeah,
and then
Carl
he came back like 2 weeks later. So when you look at this, I think it's Miami. I mean, I don't know that 100%, but everything would make sense. His girlfriend goes there. He's a Florida kid. They have missed on, like, three of their major targets at quarterback. And if you don't think they didn't come to him and go, look, Cam Ward might be the number one pick. He probably is going to be the number one pick if they don't trade it. So I'm sure that came to Carson and said, you've got time to rehab here. You've got time. We know what you can do. You can come here and make X amount of money. And, you know, listen, he's been at Georgia 5 years. I think it's more of those things where, you know, the guys he came with, those guys are gone. He didn't come in with any of these guys. These are all younger guys and stuff like that. So that doesn't surprise me. I think the timing of when he had to, quote, unquote, to decide a couple of weeks ago was really a time crunch for him because he had just had surgery. And I think the more and more detail he did with NFL people, they're probably like, hey, man, you're going to be a little bit further down than you think. And then he started thinking about, I got another opportunity. Why don't I buy myself some time, and why don't I make a bunch of money and go to South Florida?
Right. and then reestablish yourself, as you said, and maybe be that top 15 pick. Rusty Manziel's with us, guys. He's the owner, publisher of Dogs HQ. You hear him, as Carl mentioned, on Steakhouse. Joins us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Would there ever, I mean, what was your take with Kirby? Was Kirby already ready to turn the page? Or do you think there was a discussion that they had to sweeten the pot?
I don't know that 100%. I just think that he'd been there so long. Things didn't work out this year for him. Georgia, once he had declared, I think he knows that Georgia has turned the page for most likely Gunnar Stockton. I mean, Gunnar Stockton lives with Oscar Delp. He knows all that's his guy. Everybody at Georgia that he came in with, those guys are gone. In fact, Carson Beck was living with two guys that didn't even play football this year. Two guys from Jacksonville. You know, they're going to school there. I think Carson was one foot out the door. I think he was going to go to the NFL. I think everybody thought he was going to go to the NFL. He gave Georgia 5 years, two full seasons almost on the field, and three waiting his turn. So he did his time at Georgia. I think everybody, the way it's happened the last month and a half, I think this is why it ends up he's not going to be at Georgia. He's going to be somewhere else, and why he's not in the draft. That injury changed everything.
We're talking with Rusty Manziel, guys. The breaking news about Carson Beck deciding to enter the transfer portal. I just said this to Mike. I'm not sure if you heard it right as you got on the line. So what's that room going to look like? What additions have been added? And we know right now, if this is, you know, Beck's situation, we didn't expect him to be back anyway, but Jaden Rashada, what are we looking at in that quarterback room?
Well, you're going to look at Ryan Puglisi probably behind Gunnar Stockton. I don't think, you know, I think everybody wants to automatically assume it's Gunnar Stockton's game. I don't think he did anything to hurt himself in the Notre Dame game. Had a turnover there on his fault, the strip sack.
Right.
You know, first time you ever play, and you play against Notre Dame in the national quarterfinals, that's a pretty tough assignment. I thought he did pretty good. I think he showed some things he can do. Ryan Puglisi's a kid that Georgia beat Ohio State for. I mean, it's a kid out of the Northeast. He's there. I heard he's had a good couple of weeks. They're going to bring in two freshmen. Here's the thing, though. Georgia tried to bring in another guy to compete. They tried to bring in Mendoza from Cal. Didn't get him at the end. They tried to bring in Purdy, the young man that ended up at Florida, who was a starting quarterback at Charlotte. Try to compete. So there is one more portal now in May. There's an open window. Yeah. So get to a spring practice. Oh, yeah, joy, another free agency month. But, you know, you get through spring practice and you kind of decide where things are. But I'll tell you this right now, and you know how things play out. The number one quarterback in America, one of the most talented. I've been doing this 14 full-time. I've never seen an arm like I've seen on this kid, Jared Curtis out of Nashville. He is a rising senior. He was committed to Georgia for a while. He backed off. Mike Bobo is in his living room right now in Nashville on a visit. And I'm telling you, you're going to hear that name from here until whenever he decides what he's going to do. So Georgia's going to be in on the number one quarterback in America for the 26 class. They're in deep right now with him. We'll see how that thing goes. And so quarterback, they got two true freshmen that will be here. Ryan Montgomery out of Ohio will be down. I think he's a mid-year. They got another young man that's going to start, I think, in June. So they'll have four quarterbacks in the room. But I know that Kirby Smart would love to have somebody else at least with some experience that's taking snaps in a game. And we'll see what they do in May. But listen, guys. I mean, I know Kirby would love to have three or four guys that's played. No, that doesn't happen now. Those days are. Whoever wins, if Gunnar Stockton wins this job, it'd be interesting to see what he does next year. It'd be interesting to see what Ryan Puglisi does. Just the way it is, man. That quarterback room with portals, you just never know.
Right. Hey, Rusty, you just touched on Bobo. I presume that Kirby's faith in Bobo is marrow deep, so he's not going anywhere. What about Stacy Searles? Offensive line became a big issue this year.
Yeah, you know, you look at that, and I get a lot of questions. The one thing I can say is this. If you look at Stacy Searles, you look at Mike Bobo, they've always been able to run the football. I don't know why. I haven't dug into enough tape. I haven't talked to enough people. I don't know why they could not run the football. They could not run it a freaking ounce. They couldn't run it 1.7 yards against Notre Dame. That's something they'll fix. That's something I have confidence they'll fix. But I know this. If they were going to play in Atlanta on January the 20th in the last game of the year, they had to change their wide receiver room. And I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt that they have spent money to change the wide receiver room. Now, it has to play out on the field. But you see a different philosophy. When you go head-to-head with USC and Texas for Noah Thomas out of Texas A&M and you win that one, Then you go Zachariah Branch, who came off a visit to Miami. I know it sounds crazy, but everybody doesn't choose Miami just for that beach. I can tell you this, you know what I'm saying? To get him was a big deal, and his brother, but Zachariah Branch, one of the best, you know, most electric to me. I've seen him in high school. This guy's got a lot of Miko Hardman to me. He's really quick, gets to fifth year. So Georgia really signed five wide receivers. So my comment to everybody asking about the offense, I think Kirby Smart is going to go out and get the guys they think that can fix it, and we're going to see what happens this year. But, you know, you look at Mike Bowman and Stacey Sterles together, they've always been able to run the football. I had no idea why they couldn't this year. I have no idea, but I guarantee you that is something they will spend an entire offseason working on and seeing what the problem was.
Great stuff. Rusty Menzel, man, get your milk. Get your bread, bro.
Yeah.
Damn, I mean, it looks like
propane
in Publix right now. I'm telling you, man, this is like an Oklahoma drill in here for this last gallon of milk.
It is. No, it is. I went last night, as a matter of fact, and it was fend for yourself. One dude pulled out a sword. I was like, come on, it's not that serious. Rusty Menzel, thanks so much.
I'm about ready to use some of those Mike Bell flyer miles and head to Naples.
Hey,
man.
Got to do it.
Down on the beach, baby. It's no ice, no sleep down there, Coach. Hey, Rusty, great job, man. Thanks for jumping on last minute, baby.
Hi, man. Thanks, guys.
That's our guy, man, Rusty Menzel. Good guy to talk about. Knows Kirby Smart, knows the staff, and feels that, as Carl and I touched on, Carson Beck can go make some money. Now, everyone's got an opinion on this, and we'll find out. Can be anywhere from, 1.5, 3, who knows with NIL. But he'll make some good loot in Miami, reestablish himself as a first-round pick for the NFL draft, because right now, I don't think there's anybody taking Carson Beck in the first or the top of the second round. I think he's more likely to be a late second round pick. But you know, the Carson Beck move from Georgia is on, much like what happened with Cam Ward. Cam Ward was declared for the NFL draft, and then all of a sudden Miami threw some money at him, more money than Florida State, and he had a monster year for the Hurricanes. Unfortunately, kind of unraveled there at the end. Appreciate your feedback. A bunch of guys hit us up on the text line saying, "Are you sure Gunnar Stockton is the guy?" Well, he better had be, unless there's more guys. And as Rusty pointed out, if you listen to that conversation, there's another portal coming up after spring football. So there's still one more portal if you want to improve your quarterback room. But Jaden Rashada is gone. It's Ryan Puglisi, who is certainly going to hope. Now, you hope he sticks around. There's the thing, guys. There's no guarantee. You don't know what you've got. You know, there was some degree of certainty because you'd have, and maybe they will at some point, the NCAA and college football, the major conference will get together and say you get one transfer for 4 years, and that'll be it.
By the way, Mike, real quick, Aaron Murray, our buddy, reports Beck could make between $3 and $5 million next
year. That's what I said. I said right at the top. Guys, Miami has big money. Florida State wanted Cam Ward. They had to settle for DJ Ukulele because Miami backed up the Brinks truck, and Florida State doesn't have the money to match. So Carson Beck, wishing well. Guys, then, like as Carl pointed out, it's not like Carson Beck did anything wrong. Carson Beck did have some struggles in that Alabama game, which I blame on Bobo for deciding let's get into a shooting contest with Jalen Milroe. Just run the football with Trevor Etienne. And then, of course, in the Texas game, if that's what the scouts are looking at, I don't think that's first-round talent. I think Carson Beck's in a good spot. Carl, going to Miami, you reinvent yourself and get right back in the first round.
I agree, Mike. I if anybody's upset, this is where we're at. This is the reality of college football now.
Write your local congressman because nothing's going to change anytime soon. We will have some stability with sort of a salary cap.
Yes.
Everything I'm reading is saying that may not happen with this federal judge in June. Stay tuned. But either way, adios, Carson Beck.
All right, guys, coming up, more on what Terry Fontenot had to say. Stay there as our general manager addressed a lot of things today. It's Dukes and Bell.
Did he?